James Kennedy Ministries presents Truths That Transform.
You've heard by now of cancel culture. Well, what is it? And will it be coming for you?
It's all about power. You do whatever you can until you're in charge, because power is what makes the world what it is.
We investigate the reputational terrorism of cancel culture and show you how the left invented it to keep you quiet on today's Truths That Transform. Welcome to Truths That Transform, a production of D. James Kennedy Ministries, where we are standing for truth and defending your freedom. Perhaps you've heard a lot lately about cancel culture. At one time, disagreement was accepted and even encouraged in our society, but no longer. Today, the elites of the far left who dominate our educational and media landscape have fashioned their own ideological orthodoxy. It celebrates homosexuality and gender confusion, the redefinition of marriage, and revisionist history seen only through a racial lens. And if you run afoul of it by holding to biblical morality, traditional structures like family and marriage, and the conviction that Christ came to tear down racial barriers, you'll get canceled, which could mean pressure to get you fired from your job, banned from social media, or excluded from the ability to carry out business transactions. On this program, we will show you how cancel culture works, and we will expose its central problem. We begin with this report from Dr. Jerry Newcomb.
Any man who protects communists is not fit to wear that uniform, General.
In the early 1950s, Senator Joe McCarthy accused various Americans of being secret communists. But many historians argue that he painted with too broad a brush.
Are you now in the direction of the Communist Party?
The cancel culture really is a new form of McCarthyism. It's somewhat ironic given that many of those who are proponents of cancel culture today denounce McCarthyism of the past.
This cancel culture can be likened to reputational terrorism, the destruction of your reputation if you refuse to adopt the new woke orthodoxy. Even once beloved figures like Dr. Seuss are under attack.
The Dr. Seuss brouhaha proves one thing. Cancel culture must be canceled.
Consider some of the major problems with cancel culture, such as forced conformity. The proponents of cancel culture are in effect saying, conform to our views or else.
You have to believe like we believe. That's not the way America works. You know, there's plenty of room for people to have different beliefs, and people need to be able to follow their conscience and their religious faith. And the idea that everybody has to believe whatever the government says is not the answer. So that's why we have a free exercise clause. Having that restored with a lot of this sort of woke culture or this cancel culture or this we're going to bully you culture, really important to have free speech protection and free exercise of religion protection. So people can really live free, no matter who is in control of the local government, the state government, or the federal government.
Everyone has to be in lockstep with their program or, you know, you're no good. And yes, it has failed all over the world. I mean, look at Venezuela. It's like the perfect example, because for a long time, the left was saying, oh, Venezuela is the model, you know, the Chavistas and these people, look, it's the perfect utopia they're building. And now look at it. You know, people are, you know, have to spend $1 million to get a loaf of bread.
The victims of cancel culture are multiplying. For example, a qualified medical student was kicked out of the University of Virginia. Why? He merely questioned the school's policy on so-called microaggressions. He's now suing the school. This brings us to another major problem of cancel culture. It limits free speech.
It's very disconcerting if you believe in freedom of speech, if you believe in dialogue and free flow of ideas. And what you've seen is almost a complete takeover of the secular university by the progressive left. And so they don't want free speech. They don't believe in free speech. They believe in free speech for themselves, and they do not want to engage in dialogue. They want to shut you down if you disagree with them.
Do you think that the cancel culture is, in effect, out of step with the real Constitution of America, including the First Amendment, which promotes, you know, and allows for free speech and freedom of religion, freedom of conscience?
I think that cancel culture is at war with constitutional culture. Our Constitution, our system, our institutions were created to bring out the truth, to promote freedom and liberty. Cancel culture is meant to suppress the truth, to make you believe in narratives, to detach people from this culture of liberty and free speech.
Do you have a functioning First Amendment when the cancel culture only allows one side to talk? When you can't even have a debate in this country?
We need to move away from the leftist Marxist view back to the liberal view. Liberalism says, I believe this, you believe that. I think you're stupid for believing that, but you have a right to believe it. And that's the debate, that's the dialogue, that's the disagreement. We also need to get rid of politically correct speech. The fact that I disagree with you and you're offended, welcome to America. You're allowed to be offended. You're allowed to offend me.
Until I began to write my book, I did not realize that there were arguments against freedom of speech. And I began to study this and discovered that it goes back to Herbert Marcuse, who was a Marxist in the 60s, who says that Marxism will never advance as long as the oppressors, the capitalists, have free speech. So they should not be allowed to speak, and they must be silent and give the other side a chance. Now, I studied the contemporary world. There's a man, for example, by the name of Stanley Fish, who has written about free speech. And his view is the very same, except he applies it to race, that it is time for the oppressors to be quiet. It is time for the oppressed to speak.
Even some on the left can see right through cancel culture.
And finally, new rule, liberals need a stand your ground law for cancel culture. So that when the woke mob comes after you for some ridiculous offense, you'll stand your ground.
Cancel culture often claims to target hate. That sounds like a worthy goal. But some on the left, like the Southern Poverty Law Center, claim that Christians who adhere to established biblical morality and oppose, for example, the radical homosexual agenda, are supposedly haters. The SPLC finishes the job of reputational terrorism by placing sincere Christians, including this ministry, on their map of hate.
It is just a never-ending litany of reputational terrorism, where what a terrorist tries to do is create fear. Mm-hmm. So here's the subtle message to a nonprofit leader or to a church pastor. Just stay quiet. Let everybody else out of the closet. But just, you know, if you don't want to face all of this terror, all this fear, all this risk, all this danger, just don't speak up for the gospel. Don't speak up for truth. Don't speak up for a viewpoint we disagree with. And if you just quietly keep to yourself, we'll leave you alone. And that's why terrorists can't prevail. That fear-driven culture would eliminate the gospel from the airwaves. You would Google for churches, and only the approved churches with the approved message would show up online. Right. All of a sudden, Facebook Live disappears for the churches that don't hold to the proper viewpoint. And we would begin to see a censorship that would be unparalleled.
I think calling cancel culture reputational terrorism is a good way to put it. I think that's the point of cancel culture, is to make people afraid to say their opinions, afraid to say the truth.
Furthermore, cancel culture pulls us apart. We see this often in many of our schools today.
What is happening on college and university campuses is that many of the radicals in the 1960s that wanted to blow up America, they're leading the colleges and universities. They're the ones that came up with safe spaces, trigger warnings, political correctness, and all of this nonsense. And they are the ones that are land students, that they should be teaching. and setting examples and explaining to them about free speech and First Amendment and tolerance, they are allowing them to run the institutions based on their emotions rather than rational thought. And you think about universities, they used to strive to be places where you got a marketplace of ideas, that you had a diversity of ideas. That's not what they are now. They have become indoctrination centers.
Dr. Carol Swain knows firsthand what the reputational assassins can do to someone. As a professor at Vanderbilt Law School, she was constantly under attack for refusing to toe the leftist line. She retired in 2017 after years of attacks from the likes of the Southern Poverty Law Center.
Back in 2009, I wrote a blog criticizing them, and within 6 weeks, I was on the cover of the newspaper, the state newspaper, the Tennessean, with a headline, VU professor slammed for endorsing a racist film, and I was called an apologist for white supremacy. And then the next year, my name was listed in their hate watch. I've been a victim of the Southern Poverty Law Center labeling me as an apologist for white supremacy because of a film I reviewed and gave it a positive rating. I reviewed it for Classroom Use. And they are clearly about trying to destroy individuals as well as groups that cross their ideological line. And it's a very serious situation in America. And I think that the American people had better wake up soon and start holding groups accountable.
It's all about power. You do whatever you can until you're in charge, because power is what makes the world what it is. And so you use any means necessary. Yeah, you can do it by getting rid of the Constitution or weakening the Constitution or lying about the Constitution. Get away from Republican forms of government until we can take over. And then we're going to have our way. That's always been the premise.
There really is no such thing as an atheistic culture. All cultures serve a God of some sort. And when the one true God is removed, they replace him with an idol of their own making. That new religion will have its rituals, its priests, its atonement, and its heresy trials. And that's exactly what cancel culture is. It's heresy trials for those who refuse to bow to the new gods of gender confusion, racial grievance, and sexual anarchy. And instead of offering a finished atonement, it conducts a perpetual rhetorical and economic inquisition, not seeking repentance, but rather the destruction of those who disagree. But how did we get to this place in a nation founded upon Christian truth and ideals? Dr. Kennedy sheds light in this portion of his message, The Culture War in America.
We are engaged today in what they call culture wars. And I have no doubt that there is a certain legitimacy to that term, that there is indeed a culture war going on in America. But one thing that you never hear from the media is who started the war, right? Who did? Well, it's interesting that because of the blatant censorship that has gone on in our schools, colleges, for over a generation, we have a vast multitude of people who know nothing about the real founding of this country. And we are simply saying it's time for Christians to defend the spiritual liberty and values that made this nation great. We didn't start the war. We didn't start it, but by the power of God's Holy Spirit, by the power of His gospel, by Christian men and women being committed to share the power of that gospel, which is the only power that can transform lives, we, by His grace, are going to end it. But if we continue the way that we're going, and if Christians do not begin to do something to change it, we are going to see both peace and prosperity utterly demolished in this nation. The nation that forgets God will be turned into hell. And I think that that means, first of all, it'll be turned into a hell right here on this earth, and then the nation will be turned into hell forever. What can we do? Very quickly, two things. I've said them 1,000 times. I'll say them again, because they're the two things that God tells us to do. There is the Great Commission, first of all, that we need to proclaim the gospel of Christ to every creature. Do you know what the problem is? The problem is very simple. What is the problem with all of these people, with all of the ungodly people, the people that hate Christ and hate Christians and hate His Word? They have never been converted. That's their problem. We have, because of our own neglect and our own failure to obey the Great Commission, we've allowed an ever-growing number of heathen to spring up in this country until they're virtually surrounding the church. The time has come now, while there is still a place to stand, to take a stand. What the ungodly and the immoral want from us is simply nothing more or less than our silence. And we have been all too willing to acquiesce and grant them that silence. We need to prepare ourselves to speak. We need to proclaim, first of all, the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is because of the disobedience of Christians in churches all across this land, their disobedience to the Great Commission, who told every person that names the name of Christ to go and proclaim the gospel to every creature. And the vast majority of Christians in this nation have been totally disobedient to that commission. I would ask you, how many people have you personally led to Jesus Christ? It should be many. But those people that you haven't led to Jesus Christ are the people that are teaching your children all sorts of immoral and ungodly things. They're the people that should have been won to Christ in the last decade, in the last 50 years, in the last century, that haven't been won to Christ, who have been multiplying and taking over the institutions of this country, and now are banging on the doors of the church itself. We are told to go out on the offensive and proclaim the gospel of Christ. How long will we continue in this disobedience, refusing to do the central thing that Christ told us to do, to proclaim the gospel to a lost, immoral, increasingly anti-Christian, anti-God world? The early Christians faced a pagan Roman Empire. We had a Christian patrimony and a Christian nation. We've let it sit through our fingers. Secondly, in addition to proclaiming the gospel, we've got to obey the cultural mandate to take the principles of Christ to every sphere of society, to get involved. Increasingly, people are withdrawing, as they have been withdrawing for the last half century or more in this country, and leaving the running of all of our institutions to the ungodly. We need to get involved in every single sphere of the life that we live. Dear friends, as we go from this conference, may we go with a new determination that we are going to serve Christ, we are going to make Him known, and we are going to become a part in some way of this society in which we live to do something to change it back, to reclaim America for Christ. Will you do that? Do something toward that end that you haven't done before. Unless we have people who have that commitment, there is no hope for this country.
As Dr. Kennedy just explained, Christian abandonment of the culture helped get us into our current social predicament. And only the engagement of faithful, biblically informed, courageous Christians can get us out. This ministry is standing for truth and defending your freedom, but we need your help in order to do that. And a key part of our work is equipping Christians just like you to stand strong and true in the faith without compromising to our godless culture. If you are able to give a generous donation to help us continue this absolutely essential work, we will thank you by sending you the book, Demanding Tolerance, Losing Our Freedom to Disagree. The left's primary tactic against Christians today is to paint us as bigoted and hateful. As a result, many Christians have shrunk back from the debate, either compromising biblical truth or retreating into an ever smaller group of like-minded people. But the short, easy-to-read book, Demanding Tolerance, lays out common arguments made in the name of tolerance against basic Christian doctrines and beliefs and equips you to answer these arguments with truth and grace. It's our thanks for your generous donation to the ongoing work of this ministry. Simply write to us at D. James Kennedy Ministries, Box 1154, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33339. Or call toll-free, 877-962-7677. Or go online to djkm.org. And if you are able to give a generous donation of $40 or more, we will send you the book plus our special DVD program, Prophets of Hate, the Southern Poverty Law Center. Nobody has been more successful playing the hate card than the Southern Poverty Law Center, which has amassed hundreds of millions of dollars by falsely tagging Bible-believing Christian organizations as hate groups, and then lumping them together with the likes of the KKK and the neo-Nazis. It's one of the first and most successful instances of cancel culture. This highly regarded documentary special exposes the true agenda of the SPLC. The SPLC's game is to embed their far-left ideology in their hate designations and peddle them to a lazy and unsuspecting media. And it is a game they've reaped enormous riches from for decades. They even inspired a domestic terror attack. All of this is detailed in this hard-hitting DVD, Prophets of Hate, the Southern Poverty Law Center. That's the book, Demanding Tolerance, as our thanks for your generous donation, and the book plus the DVD, Prophets of Hate, as our thanks for your generous gift of $40 or more. Simply write to us at D. James Kennedy Ministries, Box 1154, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33339. Or call toll-free, 877-962-7677. Or go online to djkm.org. One sunny Saturday morning a few weeks ago, I opened my morning paper to discover that I am supposedly the leader of a hate group. As you might imagine, that was not the most appetizing thing to go along with a cup of coffee on a quiet weekend. Our hometown South Florida newspaper, the Sun Sentinel, which has long delighted in feigning horror that local Christians actually believe and practice Christianity carried this headline: Florida has the second largest number of hate groups than any other state, report finds. Of course, that grammatically incorrect headline should have given me a clue about the quality of the writing to follow. The story breathlessly announced, among the groups identified by the report in Fort Lauderdale are D. James Kennedy Ministries. Now, who do you suppose produced that fallacious report eagerly parroted by the Sun Sentinel? Well, if you didn't guess the Southern Poverty Law Center, then you may not have been paying attention. The SPLC's stock in trade is fear-mongering for profit, lumping together actual hate groups like the KKK and the neo-Nazis, along with Bible-believing Christians like the Family Research Council and D. James Kennedy Ministries, while squirreling away hundreds of millions of dollars in offshore accounts. This is little more than reputational terrorism, and we are actively pursuing a federal lawsuit against the SPLC because of their false and defamatory label, a fact that the newspaper got wrong, since they never bothered to contact us before running it in the first place. Though the SPLC is a left-wing hit group masquerading as a public policy organization and covering radical politics with the thinnest veneer of objective research, our lazy and credulous news media has uncritically amplified their claims for decades. Such blindness is now culpable and can no longer be excused. Numerous former employees have come forward to expose the SPLC's deceptive fundraising strategies. They've had to pay out millions to some whom they falsely accused. And they even now defend themselves against our lawsuit by admitting in court documents that their hate designations are not based in objective fact, but only their own subjective opinions. Anytime you hear the media trotting out one of these lists, you can bet that their source is the SPLC. And if so, you can also safely disregard it as the fevered rantings of anti-Christian zealots from the far left. D. James Kennedy Ministries is standing for truth and defending your freedom. I'm Frank Wright. Thank you for being with us. And here's a look at the next truths that transform.
The Southern Poverty Law Center, I think, often quite dishonestly, has used their platform, has used their media connections to destroy the reputation of people.
That's next week. This has been a production of D. James Kennedy Ministries.